Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome to episode 223 of Your Career Podcast. When it comes to reinventing your career, the only way to do so successfully is to start from a solid foundation of self-awareness and clarity of purpose. With the Great Resignation being a hot topic of discussion this year due to the effects of COVID, before making a major change, it really is essential to take the time to pause, reflect, and consider what is really important to you in your life and your career. Now, thank you for joining me to listen to this latest episode of Your Career Podcast, and I hope that each episode brings you an additional spark of inspiration. Today's guest is Helen Mack, and she has reinvented her career a number of times and now runs her own consulting business. With clarity of purpose, she has reinvented her lifestyle, her relationship, and her business. Before I introduce you to this lovely lady, if you want clarity of purpose, visit The Careers Academy at www.thecareersacademy.online, where you can download a number of valuable and free career support resources, which will set you well on your way. I can recommend my Career Clarity Pack, which helps you to identify your values, what motivates you, what demotivates you, your skills, your knowledge, and your transferable skills, as well as the legacy that you would like to leave as a result of your beautiful time on this earth. So go and check out the Careers Academy. Now, let's find out about my latest guest, Helen Mack. Brings decades of experience to her work with business owners and organizations. She's passionate about showing her customers how to get best possible results from their businesses and their teams. An expert in optimizing outcomes, Helen combines practical psychology with business acumen, creating a nimble and flexible approach to increase business success. Her journey's been a varied one, and you'll hear all about it during this interview, from recruitment in-house and as a consultant to human resources to customer service. She's run a national training business for over 20 years, as well as her own business development consultancy. And along the way, she's become a certified speaking professional and is a past national president of the Professional Speakers Association. As a business coach and professional speaker, Helen has worked with micro to corporate businesses around Asia Pacific, including GM, ANZ Bank, Microsoft, Ericsson, GE Capital, Hewlett-Packard, and Tupperware. In the past decade, as mentioned before, she has reinvented her lifestyle, her relationship, her business, and the Great Trentham Spudfest, to name a few of her successes. So let's welcome Helen to the show.
Hello, Jane. Lovely to see you.
I'm so glad that you've joined me today, because we've got a really interesting career journey to hear about today, haven't we, from you?
And yeah, it's interesting looking back. You go, oh my goodness, look how much I've done.
I know. This is why I love this podcast so much, because everyone has a good story, and yours is a particularly interesting one to share. But just to kick us off, how about, as you know I always do, tell us what your early career aspirations were when you were a little girl.
Yes, I was thinking about that because I know it's one of your themes, and I really love the way you start the podcasts with this conversation. I think when I was very young, I wanted to be a writer. And so I wrote stories when I was little, and I've always written poetry and prose. And now, of course, I write as part of my business. And then leaving school, my father wanted me to be either an architect, a doctor, a lawyer, or an architect was like the third level of opportunity. So I ignored all that. I did a first year Bachelor of Science, because that was as far below the level that Dad wanted that I could get away with. But I added in psychology because I've always been fascinated with people. And even as a teen, I did a lot of youth work. And so I think I thought at that stage in my early 20s, I thought I might do youth work or sociology, social work. So I majored in my first year of science, I majored in theatre and boys. Failed all the subjects, got heavily involved in the theatre at Monash University in Melbourne, had a hell of a lot of fun. And then I took a year off to work in a bookshop in Melbourne. Some of your Melbourne listeners might remember the bookshop of Charles Dickens, which was named not after the author but after the man who owned the shop. How's that for a name that suits a career?
What a coincidence.
And then I went back and did a Bachelor of Arts, majoring in psychology and Italian. So I'm reasonably fluent in Italian, and I hopefully after all these years am also reasonably fluent in people development.
Mm. You know, what an interesting start. And then, you know, good for you for not following what the parents wanted you to do, you know, those traditional careers as well. Because sometimes when you start your career, you only know what your parents have done in the past as well. And you kind of fall into that, which might not be the right thing for you. But, you know, with the sciences and then helping people and the social work and your love of books and all things theatrical, it certainly was a really good grounding, wasn't it? And so once you graduated and you had your degree in psychology, how did your career progress from there?
So I realised that the people part of all of that was really what I was passionate about. So I ended up in human resources. Mm-hmm. So my first job out of school, I did a couple of different human HR roles for a variety of companies, ending up spending about 5 years with Mobil, the petrol people, not anything to do with telephones, and worked in their employee relations. It's actually interesting, Jane, when you look back at what that part of businesses has been called over the years. So it used to be, you know, staff, and then it was employee. And then it became human resources, and now it's called all kinds of interesting things. So I was in Mobil in the employee relations time of that description, and really enjoyed helping people make more out of their careers in that business. And then I've heard a couple of your other podcasts where people have said that they were given the gift of retrenchment, and that happened to me. So I was retrenched out of Mobil about 5 years into my career there, and that really made me think, where do I want to go from here? And so the first thing I did after that was actually work in career transition, helping other people make that transition. Because for me, I'd always been fairly flexible, fairly multifaceted in the way that I approached the world. And so I saw it as a gift, but I knew that lots of other people saw it as a huge threat and a really difficult time. So I worked for a little while in that area, helping other people do the same thing. And of course, then I had to make sure that I applied the principles that I taught others to myself and make sure that I was doing something that I really enjoyed. And so I decided at a fairly early age to go out on my own in a consulting mode. And I have been consulting in various iterations, including being a partner in a fairly large training organisation for a couple of decades ever since.
Mm. You know, it's funny, when redundancy happens, and, you know, as you said, a lot of people that I've interviewed and my clients as well, they've said it has ended up being a blessing in disguise. Because so often in our careers, we tend to follow a path and we think that's the way we have to do it. And, you know, you've just got to keep climbing the career ladder. And if someone taps you on the shoulder and gives you a promotion or some more money, then that's a good way to go in your career. And unfortunately, I've seen so many people after 5, 10, 15, sometimes 20 years as well, they've completely veered off their true career path that makes them feel satisfied and happy, and they don't know why. Mm. And so sometimes having an organizational restructure, it's a bit like a reset, like all of us have had last year with COVID as well. Stuff happens, might not be good at the time or might not feel good at the time, but it just makes you stop, think, breathe and go, hey, what's all this all about? And I'm sure that you know, as you know, I love career transition. And when you were helping people through that as well, you realize this is more meaningful. Yeah, yes. This is more meaningful. And then you start to think, well, what really makes me tick as well? And so that's when you decided, okay, that's it. My own journey, I'm going to take control of it. So that would have been a brave step. How did you feel when you decided to go into your own business or contracting or entrepreneurship, should we call it?
It was exactly as you described it, Jane. It was a combination of excitement and terror. So the excitement of I'm not going to be answerable to anyone else. I'm going to, you know, run my own race and do my own thing. And the fear of, oh, my goodness, the monthly dropping of money into my bank account has gone and all of those sorts of things. I was very fortunate at the time. My husband then, my late husband, was in a very good position in a work scenario. And so he said, hey, this is something that you need to do. I'm happy to support you in doing that. And so he supported me in the journey of learning about what I was good at. One of the things that I also learned that I wasn't particularly good at was the sales part. And I still struggle with that. And I know that a lot of people when they're in a career transition kind of conversation have to learn how to sell themselves. And so whether you're an entrepreneur selling a service or a consultant like me, effectively selling yourself, if you're in an organization and looking at a career transition, part of the thing that you need to think about is what am I selling? What's my product? What is me? And how do I position and sell that for either promotion, for a new job, or perhaps for a change of career?
Yeah, that's right. Knowing what your unique selling proposition is, that's the most important. And actually, that's the hardest thing because people think, sure. What makes me special? What's my superpower? What is it that I can actually do that will make me stand out from the crowd? So, Helen, let me ask you this then. What is your superpower?
What a lovely question. So I operate as a coach and a trainer and a speaker. So I share my information in numerous ways. And what I've discovered and the thing that I probably like the most is the coaching aspect. So working a bit like you, working with groups and individuals, finding out what they need and then helping them get that. I know both of us have that in us in terms of the way that we deliver to our clients. So I think my superpower is really about being able to quickly understand what it is that the other person needs to get what they want. So I'm able to identify, I kind of have like an X-ray vision that means that I'm able to identify what the gap is. So what are they not seeing that I can see that is a gap that's stopping them, a gap or an obstacle that's stopping them from getting from where they are now to where they want to be. And then because I've been doing this for 20 or 30 years, I've got a raft of options and solutions. And so when I'm first talking to people, I always say to them, in the first half hour, I will be able to give you an idea to solve one of your problems. That's my challenge, that I will, in the first half hour, I'll be able to give you an idea that if you implement it will solve one of your problems. And that might be if they're looking for a new career, or it might be if they're looking to build their business or be able to go get out of work in time to go and, you know, pick up the kids from school.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so important, isn't it? And it's wonderful that you know exactly what you can do and what makes your heart sing too. So when you transitioned into entrepreneurship, I mean, it's taken a really interesting journey because you're working with Leadership Management Australia and GM Asia Pacific, and then you set up your own business and you've had several iterations of that as well. Tell us about that journey. How did it begin? What did you start off offering, and then how has the entrepreneurial journey grown?
So the start was actually the GM Asia Pacific facilitation was the start of part of my entrepreneurial journey. So that was done as in one of my entrepreneurial parts of my life. So I'm a co-director of a national training company, and that national training company that I joined just prior to that GM project, we took on the rollout of a customer service training program all over the country for Holden, which is now a little bit sad to say, but for Holden in Australia, they wanted to improve their customer service, and I became part of a company, a newly formed organisation that was brought on to deliver that training around the country. We did that so well that General Motors Asia Pacific said, could you come and do that across Asia Pacific, which was absolutely fascinating. So our team was taken across to, myself and one other person was taken across, and we were the master facilitators training people to take this message out across Asia Pacific in all of their languages. So one of my absolute loves is getting new concepts across to groups of people. And I know that you work with groups as well, Jane, and there's something special about sharing a message to a number of people, knowing that that's going to ripple out into the world, and they're going to pass on their learnings to others. And that happened across Asia Pacific in that project. And I continued with that. I'm still a director of that company, and which is very much a virtual company. So there's two directors, and all of our team are contractors and virtual. So we didn't have to adjust anything of that for the COVID lockdowns, because it was already virtual. And we've now applied those same principles to a lot of other big automotive companies in Australia, mostly in Australia and New Zealand. And that also gave me a little bit of freedom, because they were big contracts that meant that my income stabilized. You know, the journey of the entrepreneur is always around how can I get to a point of stable income? And then that freed me up to do the other part of my life that I love, which is the conference presentations, speaking, getting involved with Professional Speakers Australia, traveling the country, doing presentations, doing conference keynotes around the place. And then, and again, my favourite part, you do the speech. That's all very well. It kind of seeds the idea. It's wonderful to then be able to drop into a coaching and training mode to embed those learnings.
Mm. And also with the PSA, you were a past national president as well. So you got heavily involved with that. And the PSA do such a great job. And there are so many amazing speakers, you know, within the association. And I know you have some fantastic events every year as well.
We do, absolutely, and both on a state and national level. It's been massively affected, of course, by the times that we're living in at the moment. In fact, our timing of this recording is interesting, because we're just about to come up to the first ever national virtual conference for professional speakers. But the thing for me about PSA and getting involved in the leadership of it was that it was, and I think this would be a recommendation for any of your listeners who are wanting to step into a leadership role and perhaps in the career kind of path in the organisation, they haven't been able to really get into that space yet, is do it in an organisation, do it in a community group, do it in a professional organisation, a professional association. The learnings that you get stepping into leadership in either your community or in your professional association will definitely turn up and show up in your career progression.
You know, I just want to go back to virtual delivery, because I've been coached for 5 years now. I've been coaching virtually and I love it. And so when COVID did hit, I thought, well, I'm all set up. I've got my podcasting equipment and I've got Zoom set up for quite a number of years now. But now with a national conference at the PSA going virtually, what would you say are the challenges of actually delivering a virtual conference?
There are definitely, it's a very different creature. So like you, I have always coached a bit of both. So a lot of face-to-face and now most recently on Zoom. My coaching is now all on Zoom, mostly because I find it the most effective, efficient way for to get the message across, and my coaching clients get more bang for the buck because they're not distracted about having to travel or me having to travel or make me a cup of coffee, or we can get straight down to it. Mm. So the benefit of a virtual conference, and interestingly, last night I actually hosted a virtual event, a virtual panel for one of the accounting associations, and we had the same challenges. We had people from all over Australia. So there are a couple of real benefits. People from anywhere can attend. So there's no geographical limits. There's no planes running late. There's no costs of hotels. So there's a number of efficiencies and effectivenesses that's not a word, but anyway,
sounds good though.
that apply to a virtual conference. Mm-hmm. The challenges include things like different people on different technology. So, you know, not everyone has the same level of computer equipment. Even last night, we had people who weren't able to opt into breakout rooms because they were on a phone and they couldn't find the button. So you've got that kind of technical issue. And you've also got the issue of engagement. So how do you keep people engaged for, in this case, effectively 2.5 days of sitting in their study, their lounge room, their dining room? How do you keep people engaged in a virtual environment for longer periods of time? You know, they're not able to, let's all stand up and you know, go off to a breakout room down the corridor or have a networking function. All of those things have to be done online. Big challenge.
Yeah, it really is interesting. It made me think back to in 2019, I was booked to conduct a presentation in Perth. And I'm based in Sydney. But at the time, I was going to fly to England. My daughter was having a baby, and then I was going to fly back after the baby was born, and then I'd be able to deliver the presentation. But the baby was 2 weeks late. And as a result of the baby being 2 weeks late and then me staying on because of a few you know, health issues that I was concerned about, you know, with the baby and my daughter, I was not in Perth or indeed even in Australia when the presentation was due to happen. So I suggested, oh, can we do this via Zoom? Because I know what I'm going to say. And they went, oh, I don't know, let's see. And kudos to them, because they sorted it all out. I delivered via Zoom. People took photos of, you know, the big screen, and then I was there. And I was able to interact as well and answer questions on the
screen. Oh, fabulous.
And that's when I thought, you know what? This should be done more often, because more people would be able to attend your events. You wouldn't have that expense also of all the hotels and paying for the speaker's extra time by flying all over the place. Yeah. So let's see how the PSA conference, virtual conference, goes. Now back to you, Helen. So now your career, your entrepreneurial journey has progressed over the years. And what did you find was the most challenging thing about even perhaps currently, about being an entrepreneur and maintaining that pipeline of clients? Because you said that you don't like sales. So how do you overcome that?
So this reminds me very much way back, one of the first contracted arrangements that I did. So early on, I was pretty much just a contractor for hire. So I'd take on various projects and so on and so forth. And I remember that one of them that came up was me being a trainer. So, you know, delivering training programs for a gentleman who had the license for a fabulous lot of sales training. Ironically, in Australia, and I'm great at teaching sales. So Jay took me on because he had recognized that when you're delivering, it's hard to find time to sell, and when you're selling, it's hard to find time to deliver. He was a gun at the selling. I was an excellent trainer. And so that was a match made in heaven. He went off and sold them and I delivered them. And that worked beautifully well. I think for most entrepreneurs, that is the balance that we all struggle with. When we're busy doing the doing, when we're running coaching sessions, when we're running group coaching, when we're writing articles, when we're doing all the doing of our business, it's hard to remember to find time, and it's hard to find the focus to sell. And when we're in selling mode, when we're out there having meetings, and writing proposals and all of those sorts of things, it's hard to find time to do. So I think that's one of the tricky parts of the entrepreneur journey, is balancing those two things. And in our world, yours and mine, where we're really the product, our IP, everything that's inside our heads. I know you've done a great job of putting that into programs that people can get start of the journey without you, which is absolutely brilliant. But when you unless you have that, it's us who has to turn up, and we can have someone who is assisting us to get appointments, but it's pretty hard to have someone sell us because we are the product.
It's so true. This is, I've often thought, you know, oh, maybe I need someone to do my sales for me, because I don't
know. A clone.
I'm a former recruiter and I had to do sales. Just imagine. And that was the least enjoyable part of it. But I've spoken to lots of sales trainers who they kind of turn that perception of sales around on its head, and you can get better at it. But you're right. Delivery versus sales, and the time it takes to create proposals is, Oh, gosh, it's very, very time consuming. But you've obviously got on top of it all. It's working very well. And I want to find out about your business now. Helen Mack, tell us about optimizing outcomes for leaders and the work that you do now.
So my focus is, so optimizing outcomes is about helping people move from a position of not possible through what's possible to best possible outcomes. So how can you optimize whatever opportunity you have? How can you optimize your business for systems, people and processes so that as a business owner, you don't have to work so hard. So the leaders that I work with are leaders of small to medium business, including micro business, so solopreneurs, through to lead. I also work occasionally with leaders in large organisations who need to learn how to get better outcomes from their people. But my jam, the place that I love to play, is in for businesses who want to get bigger or better or both. Mm-hmm. So I'm not one of those coaches who declares that this is the way your business should be. I'm very much about exploring, firstly, what does the business owner want from their business? And I believe that there are lots of different currencies. Mm-hmm. So in any business, there are lots of currencies. Money is just one of them. Time, freedom, ability to share your passion, ability. Some people do want to build an empire. They want to end up with something that they can sell, something that runs without them, which is fantastic. Most business owners that I work with want to do a little bit of it runs without me. But some of them just want to they're happy with the money. They just don't want to work so hard. So optimizing outcomes is about what outcome do you want and how can I help you get the best possible result from your business. And currently I do that mostly with coaching. As you said, I love doing Zoom coaching. So I do one-on-one coaching and I do group sessions as well. I call them a masterclass. So it's really about business development, group accountability, and what I call solutions sessions. So I believe that lots of people have ideas. And so if I bring a group of business owners together, they will have great ideas to share with each other. And they'll also feel a little less alone because sometimes being an entrepreneur can be a bit of a lonely journey.
I think you sound like the solution to most business owners' problems to optimize their outcomes. This is what keeps most business owners awake at night.
Completely.
So you probably help business owners to sleep well too.
I like that. I also
that could be another tagline for you.
A lot of them also have a goal to have a holiday.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're one up or a small business owner, very hard to have a holiday without, you know, taking the phone and the computer and the...
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is that it's so important for business owners to know, are you creating a lifestyle business or are you building an empire, as you say? Because not everybody wants to build an empire. Many people want to have a business that is meaningful, is positioned for growth, enables them to live the life that they would like to lead as well. And it sounds like you've managed to do that for your business very well, Helen. Now, where can people find you?
So the easiest way is at helenmack.com, which is very simple.
Oh, hard to remember. Hard to remember.
Very hard to remember.
Helenmack.com.
And obviously I'm also on LinkedIn and I love reaching out through that area. And as I said, have a conversation with me and I promise that I'll deliver an idea in the first half hour. I'll deliver some idea that'll help with one of your challenges.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to work with a very lovely lady, I think Helen Mack is one to go to. And I'll have all of your links to LinkedIn and also your website on my show notes at janejacksoncoach.com. And thank you so much for your time today, Helen. It's been an absolute joy talking to you. And can't wait to see you in action. You have to tell me how your virtual conference goes as well.
I will definitely give you that feedback, Jane. It's been a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Helen. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast. You know I love providing career inspiration and advice as I'm on a mission to make careers guidance and support accessible and affordable to all who need it. If you like the support, please buy me a coffee. I love a skinny cappuccino, and you can do so by going to buymeacoffee.com/Jane Career Coach. I wonder if you will. Now, I have more support for you at www.thecareersacademy.online too, and plenty of free resources that you can also download. So thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay well. If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.